Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Dammit. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio, medium Mark Troy. Mark is from the Chicago area, has been able to contact the other side since what, the age of three?
The age of three.
Okay. No pressure there, anybody else that started in your 40s, because I know some of those people. But Mark's been doing this for quite a while. The thing I like about Mark's story is, you know, Mark, you're from what, the southwest suburbs of Chicago, not exactly a medium mecca.
It's not.
Okay. You're not Sedona, Arizona or anything, right?
Not even close.
Okay. So for you, being three, tell the audience who might not be familiar with your story, what happened to you when you had your first mediumship experience?
So for me, believe it or not, I was, I remember it like it was last night. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. I remember it being right before dinner. I know it was winter and I was three and I was taking a nap and I literally sat up in my bed and mm-hmm. looked out the door, and right at the front doorway of my father's room, there was my grandma.
And she was dead.
She was dead.
Okay, got it.
But see, you know, I saw her as like, as she's as real as me as you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her hair was the same.
So she wasn't this mist or fog?
Not really, no. Okay. She looked like a woman, and mm-hmm. you know how you get that pensive feeling where mm-hmm. you're just like, what am I?
Right.
But all of a sudden, I got a humor. I got personality right away, so I had this comfort and ease.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wasn't moving her lips, but somehow, some way, I was communicating with her. Mm-hmm. Didn't really know it. So I just sat up, and then she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So I was immediately sad.
Right.
So I don't know how this happened, but a thought came to me. I mm-hmm. said, well, maybe if I look the other direction from where she was standing, maybe she'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I looked the other way, corner of my eye, peripheral. She came back. I looked. She disappeared. We did this back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a while to figure out she was playing spirit peekaboo, basically.
Oh.
You know?
But sometimes, too, people say you can see it out of the side of your
true.
Eye, the corner of your eye, but if you look directly at it, then it disappears anyway.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But knowing her, especially as a medium now, knowing how she is,
mm-hmm.
she was trying to... I don't feel like she knew exactly that I could do that.
Got
so
it.
So, you know, so looking... I mean, I learned so much just from the experience of how to communicate with the spirit world. I definitely know that they're still thinking. They're
yeah.
still intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
There's an intelligence there. They're not just energy.
Right.
And she was teaching me mediumship, but I didn't know what a medium was.
Right.
So, again, like you said, South Side guy.
So you're like, yo, Dad, Ma, guess what?
I definitely did.
Okay. How'd that work out?
Not so much.
Okay.
My father was an iron worker.
Uh-huh.
He built pretty much everything in Chicago, you know, White Sox, a lot of the high schools. So mm-hmm. I went up to him and I said, Dad, your mom's here. And he said, shut up.
Okay.
And I said, no. He said, there's no such thing. Maybe it's a ghost. He could believe in ghosts because it's energy.
Right.
But for him to believe in a heaven was... It's too much, too
right.
good to be true. And
or why? That his mom was coming to you and
absolutely.
Not to him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, you know, so I was always the black sheep and rebellious, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I would go back to him and say, you know, she's here. This is what she looks like. This is what she's doing. And he'd say no. So I would get rejected literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually be every week or every month. But she'd give me new stuff like, you know, walking upstairs, like as if someone's stomping.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell them, like, don't you guys hear this? And some of them would say, we hear something,
right?
But mine was magnified.
Right.
So I knew I was learning something there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not a medium, you still could hear something or get something to a degree. It's just that if you're a medium, you'll probably get a little bit more enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, I mean, they still were like, no, come on. It's too, you know.
Your mom was the same reaction?
My mom definitely believes, even today, that I'm psychic.
Mm-hmm.
She still struggles with the mediumship.
Is it because she was raised religious, or?
Well, that's part of it, but mm-hmm. she lost her mom
yeah.
when she was very, very, very young.
Got it.
So for her, it's hard to imagine that, like I say, God doesn't take away people from our life.
Right.
We come here temporarily, and Holman's on the other side, but a medium is born so that they can be reimbursed.
Right.
Again.
And so your mom's mom, did she come to you the way your dad's mom did?
No. And that I learned something there then, too.
Mm-hmm.
So then I learned, well, why didn't both grandmas come
yeah.
the same?
Right.
Then I realized not every spirit is as good as a communicator as the other ones.
Got it. Right.
So that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand.
First of all, when they're over there, there's a learning curve to be able to communicate. I've heard that through the, you know, hundreds of mediums I've interviewed, is that, not like you say, not every spirit communicates the same way. Also, there's like, when they get there, it's sort of like, wait, how does this work? Because imagine they're going 150 miles an hour and we're going 3.
Yeah.
So they have to put on the brakes to come down to this vibration, first of all, which is difficult. It's hard for us to reach them and them to reach us. So there's this huge gap. And then also, like when you and I were having a conversation, my father was there apparently, and my dad father, for those listeners that don't know, he's been gone about 16 years now. But you said, wow, he's really good at this. You were actually complimenting his communication skills. And I'm like, wow, the guy was a journalist and a Yale graduate, so he had a high bar. But he would do that. Like, that's the kind of thing. He would want to master it. You know, some just go on and do other things. So from your experience now, having had this ability since you were 3, when did you start to realize you could do this all the time? Or do you still have struggles with that every day?
I'm so blessed to have met other mediums that one, Mavis Patilla, she's kind of world renowned. She's one of the best. I call her my Yoda.
Sure. Everyone needs a Yoda.
Yeah. So I don't have any issue of will it work, won't it work because of her, because she basically instills in us, if this is something that is divine, which I believe, because I didn't choose at 3 years old to communicate with my grandma, it happened.
Right.
So it was a phenomenon that was natural.
Right.
If that is true, then I don't really have control over it. So why would I beat myself up to, you know, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? It's going to work.
Right.
So it must be right in
God's
eyes.
But with some people, it doesn't work as well. I mean, you have to admit there must be days when some things are stronger than others. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's from like the conscious mind evaluating that. Like, you know, I've had people where if you just say grandma is here and they can feel the presence, that's why I call myself a soul medium.
Right.
That is more important or just as valuable as 20 pieces of information.
Right.
So then, you know, you start to realize, well, even though the information, the evidence and the mechanics is very, very important, what's really important is the presence and what really is the personalization of, are you touching their soul?
Right.
And you're touching the spirit world soul too.
Okay.
So I kind of say, you know, I give it my all. I push my boundaries. I'm always trying to be better as a medium.
Right.
But every single contact, whether it's 30 seconds or, you know, 2 hours, it must be right in God's eyes.
Right. So for those who don't have a religious through line, right? So they'll come to you and maybe they are atheist or agnostic. But then, you know, Thomas John said to me, you know, people will be like, I don't believe in God, but hey, am I going to get a job? And when's that girlfriend showing up? He's like, okay, so you don't believe in anything other than you, but you want to talk to the air about when that job is coming? Okay, let's see how that works out. So obviously people are torn. So for those who say there can't be a God in this crazy world that we live in, what do you say to those people? And I'm sure you get them a lot.
I get them a lot, and I've had atheists come to me and sit, and then after my, which is like humbling on a level I can't even understand, they say, well, now I believe. I'm like, oh,
okay.
How did I?
What did I do? Yeah.
My dad was an atheist. Mm-hmm. He's in the spirit world. He's one of the best spirit communicators there is.
Okay, so your dad, who told you, shut up, that's not true, is now.
Ironic, huh?
Did he apologize when he got there? Like, honey,
no,
sorry.
No, but I remind him of it almost every day. Mm-hmm. I do, because there's still people. I go, well, not so skeptical anymore. I thought I was wrong. Remember this, that,
yeah,
the other?
Right, right.
And he's really good. And he's actually, sometimes he can be a little overboard where he'll bother other mediums. Mm-hmm. So I have to kind of make sure, you know, he knows what he's doing. But
yeah.
I think of it as if you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, no one's really been able to change that unless you have your own experience. But in science, we know energy doesn't get destroyed. It
right.
just changes. It recycles. So nothing truly dies on an atomic level.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon, molecules, oxygen, they don't die.
So here's
change.
The scientific argument, because I got into one of these with a journalist who says there's just no science to prove that mediumship is real. And that just what you're saying, if there is no end to energy,
right,
then where is it going?
Exactly.
Where do you think it's going? It's going somewhere.
And in math, they'll tell you that it's probable that we have multi dimensions. That's
right.
A mathematical.
And that is, yeah, that is science. There are at least 11 dimensions provable
right
now. So that means 10 other versions of you right now, Mark Troy. Where are you?
Oh, probably at a Starbucks, I think.
Okay, cool.
Probably drinking more espresso.
Right.
but yeah, that's how I look at it. I mean, it's like, a lot of the atheists that I've read to, they were indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
they didn't really have like an anger towards it or a great feeling. They were just like, oh, I'll just listen to you and see how it goes. And I can't tell you that all of them, but a lot of them have emailed me back and said I was an atheist and now I'm not. I'm like, whoa.
And what do you say to the thought that if it is energy, right, and your thoughts attract a reality? I mean, some people will just say, look, it's a medium is basically an incredibly in tune person mm-hmm. that is picking up on someone's brain waves. So if I'm sitting across from you and I'm thinking of my dad, right. like they say it like a mentalist, you're picking up on my thinking about my dad. That's what a lot of atheists and skeptics say and try to explain as this process. What do you say to them?
Until they get a reading from me, because a lot of the spirits that will come in will be people you don't want to hear from.
Oh.
So I'll get next door neighbors. I've gotten a primary doctor or somebody growing up. Mm-hmm. They were 5 years old.
Right.
That doctor just happened to look like a famous football coach.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to Google him, show him the picture.
And say this
and
is
she's
who?
Like, oh, and it was in their medium.
Oh, got it. Got it.
And she's like, I can't believe this. And it changed her mediumship. You'll get, you know, that's why I always tell people, even when they try to get a reading from me, mm-hmm. I put in an email. I don't guarantee and I have no control who comes through.
Right.
But it'll be sometimes, you know, even at events and I do demonstrations
right.
where someone in the audience will say, I know I have this person. They're like, it's not my mom.
Right.
I go, I know it's your friend's mom. So go tell her.
Right.
Then they come back and they say, oh, my God, how could that be psychic?
Correct. You right. know? Exactly. So once we were doing a show at Victory Gardens with Thomas John and this woman, Thomas went right to her and said, it's like. He described her landlord, who had spoken French, who she had just taken care of. And the lady afterwards, I went up to her. I mean, how could she goes, I haven't thought about that lady since she died, yeah. first of all. And second of all, I would have much rather heard from my dad. So she was sitting there going, Dad, please come through. Please come through. But the chatty landlord showed up. So that, of course, her brainwave was not thinking about chatty landlords. Right. So why did he pick up on that? Because he was picking up on the other side.
And that landlord probably is a better communicator. There's yeah. like a billion reasons why the landlord comes through instead of dad or mom.
yeah, yeah.
Maybe they're a better communicator, mm-hmm. but maybe you're the only person on the earth mm-hmm. that spirit will have the opportunity to use a medium ever.
Right.
Ever. So it's like, you know, I had a guy, men are very difficult with this, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I know.
Right?
I have friends.
I was going to say, because there aren't many men mediums, no. and I've met a few recently, but you guys are few and
yeah,
far between.
Very. We're, mm-hmm. we're rare. We're yeah. very rare, and yeah. I have guy friends, but that, you know, that makes me push myself, I think,
yeah.
even more, because they're so, like, my one friend's father actually hears bells, and then he calls them the death bells.
Why? Why the death bells?
Because he knows when someone's going to pass away.
Oh, that's
So what is my it. But what does my friend the male say? Oh, mm-hmm. he's just a good guesser.
He's a good guesser. Or yeah, oh, that's just a coincidence. I get that all the time. That's
I'm
just,
like, mm-hmm, I'm gonna,
good guesser.
Yeah. So, but they make you know it keeps you humble to have a lot of those skeptics. Mm-hmm. First of all,
sure.
Second of all, you don't beat yourself up too much if you're not perfect because it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But. At the same time, it's not for every. I don't really believe mediumship is for everybody in this life.
Right.
And that's okay. As long as we're getting back to the atheist thing. If they're a good humanitarian.
Right.
Like if I ever have kids one day, and I hope I do, mm-hmm. and they don't want to do this,
mm-hmm.
and they're a good humanitarian or they're kind to people and they're not spiritual, I'm all aboard.
Right.
I don't have a problem with them not believing what I do as long as they're good
they're
people.
They're good to other people. Yeah. So what do you know for sure happens when we cross over from what they tell you?
Most of them go through a life review.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is it your belief that that's really what heaven or hell is based on? Because some people say there is no fiery inferno, that basically your life review is how you treated other people. And if you're a real, you know, jerk, then that's going to be hellacious. And if you were really loving, then that'll be heavenly.
I believe it's mostly choice.
Okay.
So if you really want to be miserable and kind of reside in that place, mm-hmm. then you will.
Okay.
But it's very few that I've seen that do that. I've had some friends that pass away real young.
Okay.
And not in the best circumstances.
Sure.
So I watched their communication change with other mediums and I saw their, it's fascinating. Some of them, they'll do the life review and it almost feels like it's just hours.
Right.
Some of them will feel like weeks or months or years. So it's there's no book step by step to how they're all going to process it.
Right.
But I don't believe that when you go into the next phase of living that you're forced into a hell or anything. It's choice.
Right.
Because if you do believe in a God or a source or love, whatever you want to call it, right. you're a part of it because it's supposed to be everywhere and everything.
Got it.
So you would have a choice, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we beat ourselves up more on this world than in any other dimension that I've ever come across.
For what we do and don't do.
Mm-hmm. And because I have a psychology background, mental health is so in the dark ages.
Right.
So we always say, oh, that person's evil or good, but did you look at their brain? Did you measure their dopamine or serotonin levels? Did you know about their abuse in the history?
Their childhood, yeah. Well, let's talk about the psychology because it's fascinating that you have that background because so many people, I believe, go quickly to the medication before trying energy work and working through, like you say, did you scan your brain? Did you see what parts of your brain are firing or not firing? Another part of science is when they put these sensors on the medium brains, they see that part of the brain is active that most people's is not, right? When you guys are doing what you're doing and contacting the other side, you have neurons firing that we do not. They're dormant. So that is science, right? Yeah. And then also, too, for the people that, how do we put this, get diagnosed with bipolar or schizophrenia, do you think that some of that is legit or that some of that could be people hearing the other side?
No, that's my expertise.
Okay. So what are your thoughts?
I had over 200 clients that were diagnosed with schizophrenia, schizoaffective, mood disorders. Mm-hmm. Not a single one of them demonstrated mediumship. Not one.
Not one. Okay.
So the hallucinations and mediumship is night and day for me.
Okay.
I didn't have anyone come up to me and say, Mark, your grandma's here and she's 5'6" and she passed from cancer.
No.
I had most hallucinations are trauma from the past.
Got it.
So it's, you know, there's a rat biting my foot last night, Mark, and, you know, I'm bleeding. And you say, well, look at your foot. Is there a scar? No. And then they realize
it's in their mind. Okay. So is that something, though, that needs to be medicated sometimes?
Unfortunately, so you have to, you can measure the brain.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it's not so unfortunate. The brain is like every other organ.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like any of the psychotropic medications. It's very hard.
Right.
If it works, it works. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. But what does somebody who's seeing a rat biting their foot do?
I know. Well, for me, I was more into walking him through it.
Mm-hmm.
I was more into, I really pushed mindfulness in the psych ward.
Right.
So if I had one of my clients, give you an example, wanted to punch all the staff.
Okay.
And was, you know.
Getting ready to do it.
And mm-hmm. I, you know, took him and got him to go into a room,
mm-hmm.
and for 10 minutes I had him drink water. Couldn't think about anything, couldn't talk to me, just drink the water for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, the hallucinations were gone.
See, sometimes it is a literal physical, like it could be, I say this to parents all the time, if your kid is having a meltdown, they might be thirsty, dehydrated, or starving because they haven't eaten and they're growing and they needed a fix after 4 hours.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, I know this from my son. Like if he went 6 hours without water, he would start having this meltdown and it's because he was dehydrated.
Yeah.
So sometimes what's going on with our mind, and you say stressing mindfulness, that is so important to anyone who's listening right now, because if you're down a rabbit hole of depression and sadness and it's a cycle that you can't seem to block, you have to make a conscious effort. You know, Jill Bolte Taylor, My Stroke of Insight, fascinating book, woman who had a stroke on the left side of her brain, a brain specialist from Harvard Medical School. And so as it's happening, she knows exactly what's happening. She had to relearn all her science, all her communication, all of her exchanges. But what she's told everybody that's interviewed her and what she writes about in that book is that you can retrain the neurons of your brain if you take 90 seconds when a bad negative thought hits you. 90 seconds of conscious positive thinking can literally change the levels of the cortisol,
absolutely.
Right? And it can calm the heart rate. I mean, this is science. This is not woo-woo crazy angels coming into your space and banging a gong.
Right.
This is actual science. So what I get frustrated with is like, I have people in my family that are like, Jen, positive thinking isn't going to get me a job. I got to be pragmatic. And it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
And you also have to be mindful.
Yes.
Because you are useless to any company if you're a whirling dervish.
They're not going to hire you.
Yeah, they're not going to hire you.
They're going to see it right when you walk in.
Right.
The other thing is you know, there's a point of no return for some of this.
Right.
But I've had clients that were sent out and came back. That had schizophrenia, mm-hmm. now they were on dementia medications.
Oh.
So people that just say, well, doctors know what they're doing. No, not necessarily.
They're playing guess me just like everybody else.
Or I hate to say it, and if I have to be truthful, they don't care sometimes.
Right, right.
So I even had a family member that said to me, well, my doctor wants to put me on Alzheimer's medication. I'm like, you haven't even had the test yet.
Right, right.
Why would you do that? Yeah, so.
So when did you switch gears from your psychology background into the work that you're doing now?
So that was about 2014. Mm-hmm. When I was doing psychology on my days off, I would do readings.
Okay. Which, so you were comboing it for a while.
Which was talking about burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And I was pushed to the edge. And, you know, ever about, I think, May of 2014, I've been doing this 100% full time.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I did a reading was 2003.
Okay.
So I was young.
Yeah.
And
you were 12 years old.
I wish. Yeah. I was five. No. But
was that the first time you were paid for it? Okay. Because you probably were doing them on the side your whole life since you started the business. No.
So because I got so many no's.
Sure.
And I didn't know any psychics or mediums growing up.
I was going to say, they weren't in Oaklawn hanging out. So how did you find out that they existed? What was your first book of aha?
Probably when I actually got read in year 2000. And I got read by a psychic detective.
Ooh.
And I sat down and I was like, I don't know.
Where'd you find the psychic detective?
Juliet.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, and it was in his living room, which, and then I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. I don't know what to expect.
Right.
And he looked at me and he said, you're psychic.
Right.
And I said, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's like, you can do this. Do you want me to help you? And I said, no.
No, thanks.
And he's like, well, you'll get into Buddhism. You'll get into martial arts. And I go, guy, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, all I can think about is going to party.
Right.
That's all I wanted to do.
You just want to go party.
And he's right. A year later, I got into Taekwondo, which is what he predicted. And my martial art teacher was psychic. And he saw it in me, too. He said, you're psychic. I'll get you a job doing it. And I'm like, what? So I learned baptism by fire. That's how I learned how to hone my craft.
Got it.
So I went to a restaurant where all the readers were. They were 30, 40 years older than me. And they had been doing it for that long time. And I come in. I read a book on palmistry.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her the reading. She said, you look like you're 16. No.
All wrong.
And all of a sudden, I was like, please don't push me out the door yet.
Right.
Color started to form.
Ah.
And I said, I see purple and orange in your aura.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, 2 weeks ago, a psychic said the same thing. You're hired.
Oh.
So I'm in there. Oh, boy, did the other readers didn't like. They're like, you're too young. Why are you in here with us? You
right.
know, how long have you been doing this? I go, I think, like, I've read people, like, maybe three times. They're like, what?
Right? Right.
So, and then, you know, I kind of closed the door because I wanted a real, you know, career or a normal career, I should say. Mm-hmm. So I worked in quality control and continuous improvement for manufacturers and corporate. And I do all that. And I went to school. Sort of closing the door and coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I had my aha moment kind of, you know, when I was in psychology, I just woke up one day and I said, it's time to go. And I walked out.
You walked out with no regrets.
No regrets. Mm-hmm. I poured my heart and soul. I did it because I wanted to really, you know, prove it to myself, I guess, that I was spiritual because I was helping people that would never say thank you.
Right.
They would kick, punch, spit on me, yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
All day long, and I would still treat them.
Right. In your psychology world.
In my psychology world. And
right.
Now I look back at it, and I say, wow, you know, I feel like I understand people and the spirit world way more now because of that.
Sure.
As a medium.
Mm.
So I at the time, I'm like, what am I doing? What?
But it all led to this.
It all led to this.
So when did you go from seeing, you know, colors to seeing the dead?
So it was kind of always there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would randomly pop in.
Right.
In psychic readings, and I would kind of hit, you know, kind of close the door and come back. And then I got a job in 2011 doing readings at a metaphysical store.
Mm-hmm.
And I still didn't know if I was a medium, but I knew I was psychic.
Okay. Now let's talk about that for a second. Because psychic, of course, to me, I just have this, because we have free will, we could just completely change our trajectory. And that makes your job very hard. So you can tell somebody what seems to be the vibration moving down the direction of, Jen, you're going to write another book in 2017, which would make all the sense in the world unless I decided to get on a plane and go to Europe for 6 months and not write a book.
Yeah.
So how do you work with that predictive world when you're also dealing with free will?
Well, so I always tell people the word psychic means soul. If you look up the Greek root, it means soul. So really, when you're getting a psychic reading, it's soul to soul.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can look at is the probabilities that could come up in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, sometimes you just feel in your bones, like, I know you have free will, but I am telling you this is going to happen. And you just literally feel in your bones like, no, this is, I'm right. I know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we have destiny points that we're supposed to hit in our life?
I think because we are a part of that thing that's everywhere,
yeah,
that we must have both. Okay. Destiny and free will.
Okay.
But I do agree there are certain things that you have, like let's say you could, you know, come down to the Tribune Tower from my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I could have taken a lot of different roads.
Sure.
But same destination though.
Sure. Right.
That's how I feel like I look at it. So there's things that you cannot avoid.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely pick your parents.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
I know. What was I thinking? Not because of my dad, but anyway, is that out loud? I thought that was my inner monologue. All right, go ahead.
So yeah. I feel like you're handed a hand of cards, definitely,
yep. Yep.
But it's how you use them and how you play with them is up to you.
Okay. So the mediumship then for you, like, because you go to gallery situations where you're standing in front of a room of 50, 70, who knows how many people, and you just see what comes to you and you start, like, when did you get confident in that delivery?
I don't know.
You're shaking your head no. Like, does that mean you're never?
Well, you know, I had done one in 2011. I worked at the store, and mm-hmm. then I kind of didn't do it because I didn't have the opportunity to, and I didn't mm-hmm. know if that, I didn't know anyone was doing it.
Right.
So then, again, I met this lady named Mavis, mm-hmm. who's been doing it for a while, and she said, when is your demonstration? I go, what are you talking about? She's like, it's time to put on your skates.
Mm.
I was like, why? What? Why? And she just looked at me and she just shook her head, and then I'm like, okay, I'll do this. And
right.
So I just went, and I said, I can do this demonstration.
Perfect.
I mean, I didn't have any training
right.
for it.
Right.
So the first one, it went okay. The mm-hmm. second one was a nervous wreck.
Right.
And then, you know, I remember her saying, if you start to believe that whatever comes out of your mouth has to be right in God's eyes, you'll never be nervous. And I'm not. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get nervous. I don't meditate. I don't do any prep.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you have a pre-show,
nope.
a post-show? So you don't have any sort of cleansing,
no.
you know, rituals for yourself?
Not really. I mean, I do for other things. Like if you know, a family member is sick, that's mm-hmm. going to upset me. I'm human.
Right.
So I will go try to do those things like, you know, walk in nature, or maybe, you mm-hmm. know, whatever normal people would do. But as far as mediumship or doing a reading, I treat it like it's a natural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I meditate now if I didn't at 3 years old?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and the old school mediums didn't do that.
Right. But they did have protection, and they
yeah,
didn't
I
have sort of ceremonial stuff.
I have protection. I mean, I always talk to the spirit world every day, and I do have protection
mm-hmm.
for sure. I also believe because I worked in the psych ward, like attracts like.
Sure.
So I don't rob banks or do anything bad that would
right.
you know, draw in something that I don't want.
But do you think it's possible for someone who's unconsciously kind of going through their day, and if they have a bright light, for a dark energy to come and try to sabotage that bright light, even if they're not consciously thinking about it, they're not like attracting like. It's just, you know, freaking Darth Vader showing up and saying, Luke, I want to stifle your light.
Yeah, I think they have limitations, though.
Okay.
So can a spirit hang around you that may not be an angel? Sure. But I don't think they can. It's like, if you were kind of on, like, I don't know where I'm going in my life, or I'm kind of sad, they could probably sway the vote.
Sure.
A little bit.
Okay.
But if you were so happy, and you treat everybody, and your vibration is high, and all these things, and let's say a spirit comes along, and you're like the lighthouse, as you say.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they would eventually say, what am I doing here? You know, and then move on. Because there's plenty of other people
yeah.
that fit. That definitely fit.
Okay.
I've met, you know, there's a haunted place by me out in South, and mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh, this spirit is so evil. So I go there with an air medium, and I get there, and she comes right up to me.
The spirit?
The spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I look, and I said to the air medium, do you see her? And she's like, no. And
ooh.
I look to the spirit, who everyone talks about is the most hateful, awful
right,
thing.
Right.
And I said, why can't she see you or communicate with you?
Right.
She said, I don't like her.
Oh.
And she says, you understand me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going back to the psych days.
Yeah, the psych days, sure.
So I felt someone took needles and put them all over my head. She was giving me the agitation that she had while she was living.
Mm.
So she suffered. And now everyone was desecrating her property.
Sure.
And so she said, I'm not bound. Mm-hmm. I just multitask.
Oh.
So they think this is a poltergeist. It's not a poltergeist. Right. It's an intelligent being that still kind of wants to hang out, but also does things on the other side, but they're just misinterpreting it because they're not used to it.
Right.
So I understand them, and I ask questions, and I try to use practical sense with all this.
Could you have talked that spirit into the light? Did you want to do that?
I think it's in the light.
Oh. Wow. See, I thought that you can't be in the light and do poltergeisty things.
It's not, but they're, so their version of poltergeist is not her version of poltergeist.
Okay. But still, for her to hold on to pain means to me you're not in the light.
She said she's not holding on to it. She was just giving it to me.
To you so you could understand.
So I can understand.
Ah, okay. Then yeah. What kind of stuff and activity is that spirit doing that makes people think it's evil?
She's been photographed.
Okay.
Sitting. They say things move, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that'll happen with any spirit.
Yeah.
And that's kind
of
Are
you comfortable sharing with what haunted building this is? Because I had Ursula Bieleski here who does Haunted Chicago, and they have tours in a lot of different spots. If you're not, it's okay.
Oh,
was it where Hull House was? Was it?
No, I've been there.
Okay, got it.
I wasn't bothered.
You weren't bothered? Okay, messed with you. Okay.
Well, there were spirits there, but yeah. I wasn't afraid. I mean, there's very few places that I can go. I'm trying to think of it.
No worries.
It's out in the South Birds.
Okay,
I can't think of it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I will after we're done. I'll be like, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, there's so many memes that I know that will go on haunting things, and I've gone on haunting things too. Mm-hmm. And the crew will say, there's a demon. And then they go up to it and they go, well, actually, it's a male who's 5'10", gray hair, blah, blah, blah. And someone go, that's my dad.
Oh, well, there you go.
And they go, well, why is it a shadow on the, well, because they don't know how else to say hi. I don't know.
Yeah. Demon, dad, you know, a little bit different. Do you believe in demons and all those things?
I guess it's possible.
Okay.
I've never really encountered one. When I was really, really starting out, let's go back, 14 years ago? Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to a place on the other side to see. And all I really saw was spirits kind of looking down. So I never really encountered a demon. But I'm sure if there was one, I probably wasn't bothered by it either.
Right.
Because it's me, but it doesn't resonate really with me too much. I believe in the possibilities.
Sure.
I certainly hear stories from other mediums that are friends of mine that I trust that have had experiences with spirits that weren't exactly the friendliest.
And not in the light. Yeah.
And not in the light. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. So for the listeners out there who are wondering, when you're standing in front of them at a gallery, mm-hmm. how is the information coming? Is that a clear audience, clairvoyant, clear sentient, which is the sensing, voyant is the seeing, audience is the hearing? Is it all the above?
It's I use all six.
Okay.
So clairaugustance, clairalience, smelling and tasting.
Tasting, yep.
Claircognizance, mm-hmm. the knowing. What I really do is, some mediums will, and I was guilty of this, we have a laundry list mm-hmm. of, well, you got to tell me what you did for work.
Yep.
I don't know what you look like.
And do you make that announcement mentally? Like, all right, here's the deal. I need these evidential steps. Boom, 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 boom.
I used to. Mm-hmm. And then I realized what I was doing to the spirit world was putting too much pressure on them.
Ah.
So, and you got to look at it like mediumship. So I will say you can use all my faculties.
Okay.
I won't just rely on the clairvoyance. Most importantly, will be clairsentience.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will take off the pressure. And I actually will give them a confidence. I'll say, I know you may not have done this before, because I can usually tell if they used the medium before.
Mm-hmm.
I can usually tell. It's real, like, you know, you were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. And I'll actually give them the confidence, like I'm pep-talking them.
Right, like you got this.
And mm-hmm. I've seen them change.
Mm.
You can
Versus
change
if
their mind.
Somebody walks in and to take a test, and they're like, I don't know all the answers. Exactly. I'm out of here.
Exactly.
Okay.
But if you think about mediumship like a family reunion, which mm-hmm. it should be.
Yeah.
How many family reunions did you go to that you could go up to a relative that was older
mm-hmm.
and you dictated the conversation? You couldn't.
Right.
If it was grandma, she's going to tell you exactly what she wants to tell you.
Yep.
Why is it different? It's not. Then you had those uncles or aunts that just want to say hi.
Right.
And nothing else. Right?
Right. Well, some people will be like, why are they just saying hi? I'm over here by the meatloaf, when they could be telling me all these important things, like how to deal with my sister or my brother.
Well, the other thing is they don't know everything.
Right.
And we always think that.
Mm-hmm. Because they're over there, they have all this knowledge.
And they don't.
Got it.
You know, even your guides, you know, we talk about spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
I always say they're spirit guides, not spirit gods.
Guides, not gods.
Why did they chose you? Because they're still learning.
Okay, and how many do we each have?
Well, that's subjective. Okay. I think it varies.
Mm-hmm. Do they change too? Like, does somebody sign up for a decade and somebody else is on the 6-month plan? Once they get their lesson learned, they move on.
I've got mine in a day-to-day contract.
Awesome. Mine are per diem at the moment. They're weekly. We'll see how that changes.
Some of them are on a commission-based.
Yeah.
No.
That's right.
I've had a lot change.
Okay.
I've had some come in that came in and out, and some specifically that were interested in mediumship because they were mediums while they were here.
Yeah.
So they,
yeah. I was told I have a bunch of comedian guides.
Well, yours are funny.
Yours are funny.
Okay. I got a few funny ones too.
Exactly. Nice to know that we can keep our sense of humor when we cross over.
Your personalities, I mean, stay pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's an intelligence that survives physical death. How else could you have the evidence if it didn't?
Right.
So that's fascinating to
mm-hmm.
me.
Me too.
You know, I always thought of them as energy when I started out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not energy. They're people still.
Wow.
And if you start thinking of them as people, then the information makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can expand on your mediumship. It opens doors for you.
Now, something comes around that's been crossed over for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a different feeling than those that are freshly over to the other side?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because
Is relevant over there.
It's. I think time still exists, but not the same way.
Okay.
Because there's more, and I believe in different places or different worlds or different dimensions on the other side.
Okay.
And most, if you look at a lot of different philosophies and religions, they've talked about that.
Okay.
Seven heavens.
Yeah.
Seven stages of nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different ones believe that. But, you know, I've had people that come to me, and sometimes they don't tell me the truth. And I had one person come to me only 2 hours after a parent died.
Oh.
And my rule is you got to at least wait a month or a few months to grieve and have that's mm-hmm. what I want.
Right.
And she communicated very, very well with me.
The 2-hour passing? Wow. Amazing.
So I learned, well, we all think, well, since they're over there for what, mm-hmm. a year or 10 years, they must be a good communicator versus bad or whatever.
Right.
No.
No.
I mean, I've had fourth generation people come in too.
Mm-hmm.
I can go back further. Some not.
Right.
I mean, it's like you have these ideas,
mm-hmm.
and then as you go along, you're like, oh,
whoops, throw that out. Crumble that
what's
one up.
Going on?
Exactly. So that's good, because every day you will probably get in more information that changes your belief system too.
Yeah.
And if you're not moldable like clay, then forget it.
Yeah. I always say I have to be, like you said, moldable.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not, I'll be bored.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to be bored doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have done anything.
Right.
Really, there's a lot of things I could have done, but for some reason, I love this the most, and I do believe I'm helping people more than I ever did in psychology.
Right.
And I was good at psychology.
Yeah, yeah.
So
for those who go the Bible route,
sure.
I get that probably every week, about 3 emails from people telling me I'm going straight to hell for not loving Jesus the way they do. And so I'm a huge Jesus fan. Can we just put that out there?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a journalist, and I know that when Jesus was around 2,000 years ago, we didn't have digital recorders. We had people telling stories, and
yeah.
I know how my family messes up a story after 20 minutes. So for us to think that 80 years after he was alive and it was chiseled onto templates and saved over generations, to think that it came out of the sky in its written form
mm-hmm.
is just ignorance.
It is.
And so believing something that existed 2,000 years ago, over 250 million people think Jesus came back from the dead and came to Mary and believe in Christianity. But yet this is too weird?
I mean, it's like you're reading my mind, because literally at events I'll say, why is it that 75% of the country can believe a man walked on water, but if I talk to grandma?
That's cray cray.
That's exactly what we say, the exact same thing, me and you.
Yeah.
And I just said this to my mom. Sorry, mm-hmm. mom. But
I was going to ask you if your mom was still with us. Okay, go on.
She is. She's
okay.
Still here.
Okay.
She doesn't know what to make of it.
Uh-huh.
Even if I do mediumship on her, which I usually don't do for a family member, because it's very hard. Because how do you give a description
right.
of someone that you already
know? You already know, yeah.
So you have to really go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
But you were saying to your mom this kind of thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I said, why is that? You didn't even see the man. You believe he walked on water.
Right.
But yet, if I tell you I think I have a personality of someone that used to live with, why is that such a stretch? And she goes, oh, I don't know.
Right.
Well,
that's the
that.
Thing. It's people just don't want to. It's too hard to wrap their head around.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody wrote me an email based on after reading my latest book, Psychic Healers and Mediums. And he said, thank God you wrote this book. What I think would solve all the problems about whether these people exist is if A spaceship landed at halftime during the Super Bowl while it's televised. Because then nobody could say, ah, that was just a coincidence, or that's just Hollywood, or that's made up, or that's a secret, or, you know, like everybody does with Area 51 and all these other things where there's evidence, not just compelling storytelling. We're talking evidence of this happening. But no, we can't go there. So if it happened back then, 2,000 years ago, and enough people believed it so that 2,000 years later we're still talking about it, this to me is... We have so many circumstances of provable documentation. And I say to people, I'm not telling you what to believe, but I'm going to put the stories out there with the very compelling stories that I have. And then you tell me. And then you say, oh, that's just a good guesser, like your friend will say, right?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we have the most intelligent society right now of good guessers. Then we shouldn't be in this much trouble.
Why would I...
We really
shouldn't I guess something else?
Yeah, I mean, right. I want a lottery ticket for that.
Well, for me, I mean, you had to ask me, well, when was the real aha moment, even when I was doing readings, where I still was like, I don't know, because no one told me.
Right.
I had a woman that came in, she just wanted to know about romance, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I have a thought bubble, and I see this male. He's 14 years old when he passes. He's into dance, music, blah, blah, blah. And she turned white as a ghost. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Right, right.
And then I'm like, do you know what a medium is? She goes, no. I was like, well, buckle up, because I know your father's with it. And I'd explain to her, and she's just like, and then all of a sudden, this is the only time this has happened. Mm-hmm. It was in my mind. We call that subjective clairvoyance.
Okay.
It came out and was in the room. We call that objective clairvoyance, where it was actually like me and you, this male.
This dude.
Was now in the room.
The 14-year-old dude.
And now I'm pale.
Okay. Yeah.
It walks over to me and touches me in the right temple, and he says, say it. And I go, did your male pass from a gunshot wound in the right temple? And that's how I passed. And she just pours crying.
Yeah.
She goes, I didn't know what a medium was. I never even heard the word before you. Thank you so much. That was my best friend. Everything was right. That day forward, I said, you know, he stayed. Uh-huh. That male stayed behind and said, are you going to doubt anymore? I said,
oh,
no.
Okay. No, you got me.
You got me. I'm a believer. I'll take this serious. Right? I'll take this serious. Yeah.
Well, what my big aha was, because I would have hunches about people, and I've written about this in my first book, Stay Tuned, where when I was a kid, I would get feelings about people sometimes before they would show up, after they would leave. I would walk into a room, I could sense where there was a fight. You know, you just knew what people were bickering at Thanksgiving and what people weren't, that kind of stuff. But I just sort of thought, and I would get these terrible stomach aches. And so my mom took me to the doctor, and the doctor said I was just making them up for attention. So there you go. I just shut that down, tried to, you know. Then... I started taking Reiki when my dad was sick with cancer, and I found that the treatments would really help him through his chemotherapy. And so if anyone out there has a loved one that's dealing with cancer treatments, the combo platter of the mindfulness with the medical science that you have faith in and understand better is just a wonderful combination. So I would work on my dad's feet, and then it happened with my former mother-in-law. I would work on her feet. And so I put Reiki away for about 15 years, pulled it out of the closet, I think January of this year.
Oh.
And I just decided to kind of combo not just the Reiki training, but other energy and Qigong and things that I had studied. And I was just kind of making my own Gen combo platter. And I had some people that I was doing sessions for, and I was just doing them, you know, like, let's see how this feels. Let me know how this works. And I would do reflexology and massage on top of it. So when I would work on people, I would start getting these pictures. And I was like, what the heck? It's like movies were going off in my mind. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is weird. But I would always ask that I could only communicate things for their highest good and their healing. So I had a woman on the table, and I was working on her hip, and I heard to like stay with her right hip. And I'm like, hey, lady, I'm sorry. I'm cupping a feel in your ass right now, but this is where I'm told to work. And she said, actually, that's funny. That's really what painful. It's very painful. Thank you. Thank you. So then I go to her heart and from her back, and I'm behind her heart on her back. And I kept seeing, I kept hearing dad, dad, dad. I'm like, is your dad on the other side? She said, yes. So then I'm like, okay, well, that's two for two. I got the hip. I got the dad. And then I see this red rag. It was like a rectangle that was just looked like it had seen better days, you know, just like a total trash rag. And I saw it, and I was like, I'm not going to bring that up. That's too weird. So then I see it again. I'm like, too freaking weird. The third time, finally, I'm like, okay, this is going to sound so strange, but I have this red rectangular rag. And she went, So her father died. But when he was 8, his mother had passed away, and he was so devastated that they took one of his mother's red dresses and ripped it into like a security blanket for him.
Sure.
That he kept with him till he died. They buried him with this red rag. It was like his handkerchief that he would pull out and go, you know, whenever he was stressed out his entire life, you know, and he was a Lutheran minister and he still had that red hanky in his, So I didn't know this. I knew none of this. So then when that happened and I told her that, I was like, okay, seriously, guys, that was a good one. Like, way to go. And that's what I tell people. Look, I'm not going to hang a shingle and say that I'm a psychic medium. But if I can do that, then anybody can build up their intuitive muscles. Do you think, I mean, you teach this stuff. Do you think anybody can build their intuitive muscles?
I think it's just like singing. I really do. I always say it's just like singing. Well,
yeah, that's what Thomas John says. It's like singing in the shower. Everyone can do it. Some people suck, but some people are great.
Well, I think about that. I'm like, man, if I get lessons, I still don't know about me. But you know, I sing Happy Birthday.
Yeah, so that's good.
No, I really do think that, you know, there's some people that are definitely have more of it. I think we all 100%, every one of us can definitely connect to our own relatives. Some of us choose not to. And to do it for strangers, I don't think everyone can do that. It might get glitchy here and there. And then there's other people that they just can. So yeah, it's just like singing. I think everyone can sing Happy Birthday to a degree. It's just, can they go on to be Pavarotti? You know? So yeah.
Okay. If people want to come and see you, if they want to take lessons from you, what are you offering these days?
So I do a development course for intuition, which I believe is actually getting to know your soul. So, and then people are like, well, what's the difference between that and psychic? Well, intuition development is how do I know myself better? How can I get information about my own life? Whereas if I train the psychic development, that's really about other people. So, and then I do a mediumship development. I also teach with another medium, and she's in Chicago too. Lillian Suarez. And I do demonstrations. So I also do mentoring. If you don't want any of those courses structured, I'll do one-on-one custom for you. I also do at times people are like, well, can you just kind of talk to my kids as a feelings coach?
And that's what I was going to say. So for those people who are listening, if you have a stressed out, anxiety ridden teen or preteen that showed signs of highly intuitive skills as a young child, I talk very openly. Like you, Mark. My son, you know, has been able to see his grandpa who passed away 5 years before he was born, since he was two, but he shuts it down because he just doesn't have a group of peers. So if anyone out there is listening, you have a child like this, first of all, shoot me an email at my website, jenweigel.com. I'm looking to gather a community of kids, like-minded kids, ages from 5 to 25. You just talk to me. jenweigel.com. I really want to do this here in the Chicago area, and we might expand it in a greater level. But also then for Mark Troy, marktroymedium.com is the website, and it's M-A-R-K, not C, T-R-O-Y, medium.com. And people can reach you and find out where you're going to be and come to a gallery reading. Okay.
So I also have, I also do readings and mentoring for people outside the country. So you don't always have to be in Chicago. I could do it through Skype and all that, and I have people that I read in Germany, Australia, the UK, Ireland. So
doesn't matter now.
Doesn't matter.
In these days.
Thank God for social media.
This is true. Is true. So you got the Facebook page and all that.
I do. So find me, everyone.
Find it. And then do you do the Twitters?
I am on Twitter.
Okay.
I tweet.
What are you?
At Mark Troy? At Mark Troy Medium.
Okay. At Mark Troy Medium. Fantastic. Well, Mark, thanks for doing what you do. Keep doing what you do. Keep in touch, and I'm going to have to come see you do a gallery.
Absolutely. Keep doing what you do, too, because we need you.
Oh, you're sweet.
We need you. You're a pioneer for all of us, and we do appreciate it.
Thank you. I will continue to bang the drum, because there are so many people out there hiding with these skills. They're afraid of it. They don't know what to make of it. If they had any idea that somebody in Oak Lawn could be doing this, people, it's possible that in Wilmette, in Homewood, in Oak Park, there is a medium near you. So keep having the conversations, keep exploring your intuitive skills, everybody out there, and stay spiritual. I'm Jennifer Weigel, and we will see you next time.